Hello and welcome to the Carolina Panthers Football In My Mind podcast. I'm your host, Luke Farber. And what is in my mind today? Well, hey, we are just 2 days away from the start of the NFL regular season. We got the Dallas Cowboys at the Philadelphia Eagles to kick us off. And then just a few days later, we get our season going in Jacksonville. The Carolina Panthers take on the 2025 Jacksonville Jaguars in their place against Trevor Lawrence, Liam Cohen, Travis Hunter, Brian Thomas Jr. and company. And I can't wait to get to that preview, but that's not this episode. We're going to go ahead and take a look back at the offseason, through examining our depth chart and our roster to see what's ahead of us for the 2025 season preview. Also going to give some thoughts on the general NFL, and we'll see where we end up. Hey, but let's jump right into the roster. And obviously, we got to start right at the top, and that's our third-year quarterback, Bryce Young. Coming off a great finish to the season, especially in the last game where we went into Atlanta and he had the best game of his pro career, 5 total touchdowns and an overtime victory over a team that was fighting for a potential playoff spot. So it was amazing to see that happen. Bryce's recap from last year, if you didn't see it, obviously, he was drafted number one overall 2 years ago and had a completely horrendous rookie season. The franchise did what they could as far as hiring a new coach and bringing in new players to help support him the way he was not supported in his rookie year. So we were all hoping for better things from Bryce this last year, and they started off horrendously. If you didn't see it, we couldn't score in our first 2 games. His first pass of the season was an interception to a wide open receiver that he just threw the ball 3 yards over the guy's head. So it was ugly again at the beginning of last season, and Bryce got benched after those first 2 games, and in my mind, deservedly so. I think he needed to take a step back, obviously, because something wasn't clicking right. He had had less success than all of the other young quarterbacks that have come into the NFL in recent years. So he definitely needed to take that step back. Andy Dalton came in and played a few games fairly decently. Bryce took a deep breath. He watched from the sidelines. He learned. And when he came back in there, he took advantage of his opportunities. And really what you saw was a young quarterback who was a whole lot more decisive. He didn't hesitate every time he took a drop back, every time he saw a rush that he didn't like, every time his first read was empty, he didn't panic. He moved on and he made a decision, and typically they were followed by some really good throws. Obviously, he built on the games that he played in when he came back from his benching, and by the end of the year, he was playing some great football, not turning it over, pushing teams like the Chiefs and the Eagles, both the Super Bowl teams, to the very brink of regulation. And really, who knows if Xavier Leggett, our rookie wide receiver from last year in the first round, catches a late touchdown pass, maybe we beat the eventual Super Bowl champions. Who knows? Maybe we knock them off their pedestal and they never make it. Well, I think that's a little wishful thinking. But anyway, the point being that by the end of last season, Bryce was playing competently as an NFL quarterback, which we had not seen at all in the first year and a half of his career. And the other thing about that was so impressive to me is that he was doing it with a bunch of really young skill position players. In fact, 3 rookies played integral parts of the passing game down the stretch. Obviously, our first round rookie wide receiver from the year before, Xavier Leggett, he played a ton down the stretch and had his moments. Jalen Coker, an undrafted rookie, and then Jatavion Sanders, a 4th round rookie tight end. And for him to be able to do this with young, growing players who don't know their way in the league yet either, that is the extra sugar on top of that for me. It's incredibly impressive. And really, the job of an NFL quarterback is to do more with less. And if we looked at Bryce's young career, he was doing less with less, obviously. But all of a sudden, turn that from a less with less to a more with less. And that is incredibly impressive. It wasn't even just, oh, we were serviceable, like we were saying. We pushed some of the best teams in the NFL to the brink, and we took home a road victory in overtime the last week of the season against a team that was fighting for the playoffs, and none of that can be discounted, especially because we had the worst defense in the NFL last year. So what are we looking for from Bryce now to build off of the end of last season? Well, we just want him to keep growing, right? Keep ascending, keep learning the game, and keep becoming better, more efficient, less turnover prone. And let's get in the end zone more. Let's score some more points. And I think he is primed and poised to make that step this year. If you listen to the coaches and you listen to him, he just seems more comfortable in his own skin. Obviously, having the confidence that goes with that late season success should set him up really nicely as far as continuing to be a decisive playmaker. Now, he has to continue to do it, obviously, and we haven't seen it in 8 months, so will there be some rust? I don't know. He did get some more time in the preseason this year. I think everybody did. I think Coach Canales learned from last year as far as not playing people in the preseason, and the team just wasn't ready to go. So we did get more time in the preseason this year, not a ton, so it's still going to take some time to find our way, and I would think especially offensively, because offensive football is so much about rhythm and timing, and it just takes reps and over and over and over, and game reps are different than practice reps, right? They're at a different speed, a different intensity, and all of a sudden that move that you did at practice speed, you catch your feet up, you do something wrong, your head's moving too fast for your body once the game actually gets going. So hopefully we will be able to hit the ground running this year, but that is something to look out for. We want to be able to start fast, so that confidence that Bryce instilled in himself last year by his play can continue to grow. Next off, let's take it the foundation of the offense, really, is the offensive line. And the biggest thing for the offensive line for me was that we returned all five starters. And we were a plus offensive line in the league last year. We were definitely a top 10 offensive line, probably bordering on top five. And the fact that all five of these guys are coming back to the same starting unit is going to give us so much better chance for even elevated success from last year. It's very rare in the NFL where a team will return all five starters on the offensive line from year to year. I mean, it's rare that they return four of the starting five. So the fact that we returned all five guys and we retained all four major backups. So basically, our entire depth chart on the offensive line is the same from last year. And that is exactly the kind of continuity you want, especially in a unit that really led the team as the most solid unit on the team. So what are we looking for from those guys? We're looking for same thing from Bryce, kind of build off what you did last year. And luckily, they're all back together, and that should give them a leg up on the competition, absolutely. Now, there is a couple things to note. Austin Corbett, the incumbent center, and Cade Mays, the center that finished last year when Austin Corbett was injured, they battled it out in training camp for the starting center position. Austin Corbett won, the incumbent, the veteran. But it's great that we have Cade Mays, because I thought he played excellent down the stretch. And having him as a primary backup for center and guard, it's we're just in a really good spot with that. Also, we got Big Ike Ekwonu, our left tackle, is going into his contract year. And his play's been up and down so far, especially for a top 10 pick in the NFL draft, which he was 4 years ago. So the big thing for him, definitely in a contract year to make himself some money, is to play well. But we also want to see that continued progression from him, because we want to pay him, right? You know, that like we want him to be worth a big money contract. So because that's a whole lot easier than trying to find a replacement, because a lot of these offensive linemen, especially tackles, if you don't have a top 10 pick or a top 15 pick, then that you're really getting low down on the talent class, because typically those top end offensive tackles go in those top 10 picks. So we want Big Ick to have a great year. We want to pay him, and we want him to be that cornerstone of the offensive line. So next, moving on to running backs, Chuba, my man. Chuba had a great year last year. I felt really good about my preseason prediction of 12 to 1300 yards, and that's exactly where he ended up. I don't think most of the league expected it out of him, but behind that bruising offensive line, and Chuba is a hard, tough runner, and he's got speed, he's got some moves, and really looking forward to seeing him in the backfield with his new running mates, actually. Because if you remember from last year, the second round running back that we drafted, Jonathan Brooks out of Texas, he was coming off an ACL tear in his knee. So he missed the first half of the year, was able to get back for the second half of the year, and unfortunately tore the ACL in the same knee after three or four games. And that was really tough. Obviously, you never want to see anybody get hurt, especially a year-long injury, especially in back-to-back fashion, basically, like that. It's like you feel like you just got back, and then you got to do all that rehab over and over and over again. And from somebody that had a lot of injuries during my athletic career, oh, man, they suck, especially if you have them back-to-back like that, because it just, you know, all that hope, all that optimism, all that fun that you're having out after having to not play the game that you love for a year gets taken away again, and it hurts doubly, right? So JB, Jonathan Brooks, hey, we're rooting for you, man. Keep pounding. Keep hitting that rehab. You'll be back before you know it. A year isn't even that long amount of time. I mean, in a football career, it is. But in life, it shouldn't be, hopefully. So keep pounding, and we'll see you back next season. However, we did sign free agent Rico Dowdle from the Dallas Cowboys. He rushed for 1,000 yards last year after being the feature back for the first time. And he's kind of another, the 1-2 punch with Chuba, right? We didn't really have that guy last year because of Brooks's injuries. And I like Blackshear as a back, but he didn't really get on the field as much. And judging from the fact that he didn't quite make the squad this year, we've just upgraded the talent and the depth at that position. So Rico Dowdle comes in. That's your 2,000-yard runners in the backfield at the same time. I'll be interested to see, actually, when we have two running back formations. They showed a little bit of that in the preseason, but it should be fun. So Dowdle brings something that Chuba doesn't quite have. He's a little bit more shifty, elusive, a little bit smaller, has more prowess as a receiver out of the backfield. So a lot of people are kind of speculating that that is more of the type of role he'll play on third downs when you might need more pass receiving options from your running back position. We also drafted Trevor Etienne in the fourth round, I believe, out of Georgia? Yeah, Georgia. But his brother, Trevor Etienne, I'm screwing up the names. Anyway, plays for Jacksonville, and they're going to see each other week one. So the thing that we've seen so far from him is he is definitely smaller. He is more of the scat back type, the Darren Sproles type. Definitely a smaller back, receiving option. He's going to be returning kicks for us, but he should bring some real juice and energy to the running back room, and another guy that can score anytime he touches the ball with that kind of speed. So anytime you can add guys like that, it's great. It's great for depth to have them at the end of your chart. Speaking of depth, we got to move on to wide receiver, right? Everybody was talking about our wide receivers coming into camp, about how much depth we had, and that they were really going to take this next step and help Bryce and the whole offense take this next step. And yeah, we're all looking for that. Now, there were some changes that I didn't foresee happening. I didn't foresee Adam Thielen getting traded, our best wide receiver from last year and kind of our veteran presence who really has brought a steady influence to Bryce's young career. So a little bit more on that in the moment, but yeah, so we lost Adam Thielen in a trade to the Vikings. The Vikings were wide receiver needy, and that is where Adam Thielen started and spent the vast majority of his career before coming to Carolina. And as far as the fit, it just seemed to make sense, especially because we had a receiver room where we probably weren't going to be able to keep everybody we wanted to just because we had that much depth. The unfortunate thing for me is that most of that depth is young still, right? We have a rookie first round receiver. We have 2 second year wide receivers. We have a second year tight end. We have a couple other young guys, another rookie wide receiver that made the squad this year. So not having that veteran presence, that security blanket for Bryce, I would not have made that trade, because for me personally, we got a fourth and a fifth round pick from each of the next two drafts. So would you think a fourth and a fifth round pick over the next 2 years are going to mean more to those teams than Adam Thielen could have meant to this team? I don't see it. If you go back and you look at the end of the year where Bryce was having all that success and we were pushing all those great teams to the brink, you look at all the third downs, fourth downs, Adam Thielen is making the catch on 80% of those plays. So that is the question. Who's going to step up now? And this is one of the things that I appreciate about Canales, but it also frustrates me sometimes. He comes from Pete Carroll's ideology of getting the young guys on the field. You'll take some lumps early on, but they're going to grow quickly and get up to speed and be all that much better for it. And I love that, because I think in the past we had some coaches, John Fox, Ron Rivera, who weren't stoked about getting young guys on the field, even though, at least from what we saw, they seem to be ready. So in this case, you know, I believe the coaches also want to get the young guys on the field, get more experience, and they think that they're ready. So getting rid of Thielen would allow them to get more playing time and improve at faster rates. So unfortunately, you're going to have headaches without Thielen in the lineup. And with a guy like that on a team like ours, that could end up costing us a game or two this year. And that's the difference in the NFL from making the playoffs to not making the playoffs is a game or two. So I really hope that doesn't happen to us this year, but it could. We could experience growing pains enough to keep us out of a potential wild card spot. Who knows? Anyway, we're going to move on to who is going to pick up the slack and replace Adam Thielen's production, especially third down, especially red zone. And you got to start with T-Mac. Yes, T-Mac. You may be wondering why I'm wearing an Orlando Magic jersey, especially a Penny Hardaway jersey. Well, it ain't Penny. It's actually good old T-Mac from my day, good old Tracy McGrady. If you guys don't know Tracy McGrady, he was one of the best slashers of my generation. He's probably the player that most reminds me of Kevin Durant before Kevin Durant was Kevin Durant. He's definitely not as tall as Durant, but all sorts of game, inside, outside, slasher, pull up. He was just super, super smooth. In fact, there was this one time I was with a buddy at my house. We're watching basketball, random ESPN game. It was the Rockets and the Spurs. And that was back in the day where Tim Duncan and Tony Parker and Manu Ginobili for the Spurs. And then you had Yao Ming and Tracy McGrady were the big dogs on the Rockets. Well, the game was, it was a 12-point game with a minute to go, and it gets inside a minute and whatever, and it's like, oh, man, this isn't going to happen. There's no way. Let's head out. And we were actually going to the Y to play some hoops, and it was like, oh, so yeah, you know, let's finish this out. And then McGrady hits a three. And I was like, oh, let's keep watching. Anyway, he scored 13 points in 35 seconds, including an and one three, and won the game all by himself. If you haven't seen it, go check it out. Look it up on YouTube. Tracy McGrady, 13 points, 35 seconds. It's worth a watch. Trust me. Anyway, T-Mac, our first round receiver, Teteroa McMillan out of Arizona. And I tell you, I saw this guy the first week of the college football season last year. Arizona was on a late night game. I can't remember who they were playing, but I just turned it on like I do late night a lot of times, just to have some football on in the background. And all of a sudden, something caught my eye. And it was this giant wide receiver with long strides who could move really uncommonly for a guy his size. And I remember seeing it especially. He caught what I believe was a post over the middle and just made kind of a, you know, short wiggle move with his hips and lost the safety and went into the end zone. And it's like, dudes that size should not be able to move like that. And so he was on my radar right away. And I think that's the best thing that he brings to the table is he doesn't have the speed, but he has the agility of somebody like Randy Moss. And I'm not going to say he's Randy Moss. He's not Randy Moss. He's not a Hall of Famer, especially because he doesn't have the speed or the jumping ability that Moss does. But if you're talking about just wiggle, fluid hips for a big man, this guy can move like him. Absolutely. So we're looking for big things from him. He's shown a lot in camp already. I wouldn't be surprised if he lines up all over the field. He'll have a big year this year, I'm sure. He and Bryce already know each other. They both grew up in Southern California and played their high school ball there. So they've actually worked out even before this last year. So it should be really interesting to see how that chemistry develops. Next, our rookie first rounder from last year, Xavier Leggett, XL. And I'm looking for big things from XL. He had his moments as a rookie, but you could tell at some point he kind of hit a wall. He had some issue with drops. He was often injured, but still kept playing. So it was just kind of a tough year that he just kept, you know, butting his head against the wall, I felt like. But especially in the last game against Atlanta, there were a couple of plays that he made that just kind of showed his potential in a diving catch that Bryce threw high towards the end zone, which could have been a walk-in score if it was on the money, but he caught it anyway. And then there was a wide receiver screen where he sidestepped a defender diving at his feet that he didn't even really look like he should have been able to see, and then ended up getting a 10-12 yard gain. So the thing about him is we really need to try to get him the ball on the move. Crossers, in breaking routes. He's big and he's fast. And like, he's huge. And when he gets rolling on a straight line, he's going to run over a bunch of people. But stopping, getting back to the ball, breaking down on routes, he's not as fluid in his feet or his hips as McMillan is. So you really want to try to get him the ball when he's already moving and let him run through and around people. He's in the Deebo Samuel mode. So if we can find ways to get him the ball in that way, that would be amazing. Jalen Coker, the guy that was supposed to take over for Adam Thielen. Of course, that's the thing, is 2 days after you trade Thielen, the guy that's supposed to step into his role has a quad injury and goes on short-term IR. So he will be out at least the first four games of this year. And it makes me wonder, and hopeful that I'm wrong, he had a quad issue last year that kept him out several games. So hopefully this isn't a continuation of that, a chronic thing, whatnot. So hopefully it can just be healed and then not have to worry about it again. But anyway, we're going to have to deal without him for the first four games. Luckily, you know, David Moore is really solid as far as a depth piece. And then you got Hunter Renfrow and Jimmy Horn. Hunter Renfrow could step into more of Adam Thielen's role. He's kind of more in that mode, kind of quicker than fast wide receiver, shorter. But you also got Jimmy Horn that can do that too. And Jimmy Horn has the top end speed. He was a 6th round pick this year out of Colorado, played with Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter, and was kind of, I feel like, the forgotten man on that offense. I remember seeing him, especially a couple years ago, and just being really impressed with his run after catch and just his body control. You know, he's not Steve Smith. He's not Smitty. He's definitely not that big or thick or tough, but he's got speed to burn. He can run routes, and I'm really excited to see what he does, because I think he's going to earn more reps as the season goes along, and he's going to take a couple of short ones to the house, and it's going to be impressive to watch. After that, we got Bryson Termaine, which was a little bit of a surprise to some of us, but he had a killer preseason and ended up making the squad, so congrats to him. Anyway, it should be a really deep unit, maybe the deepest unit Carolina has ever had at the wide receiver position. So I'm really excited. It really should help Bryce continue to mature and take that next step. And it could allow our offense to enter into the top third of the league. We could jump up to around 10th somewhere. If things go right, we've got all the pieces to do it. It's really on the coaching staff and on Bryce to lead the way and make it happen. Anyway, we'll take care of the last offensive position group, the tight ends. I mentioned JT Sanders. He was a fourth round pick last year. I thought he was the second best tight end in last year's draft behind Brock Bowers. And we all saw what Brock Bowers did last year for the Vegas Raiders. He set a rookie catch record, not just for tight ends, but any rookie wide receiver, running back, tight end. So all from what I've heard is that he's taken everything really seriously. He got a personal chef in the offseason, has lost a bunch of weight, trimmed down, put on muscle, and is really looking good out there running routes. And so if he can add another element to our offense from the tight end position, which we just haven't had since Greg Olsen retired, then that's just another level that this offense can go. And I can't wait to see it. Backups, Tommy Tremble, hey, good, solid blocker. We know what we got there. We drafted a kid out of Notre Dame, and James Mitchell made the squad as well. We definitely need plenty of depth at tight end. Those guys usually play special teams, and it should be an interesting unit to watch. All right, moving on to the defense, defensive line. So, similar thing with Adam Thielen as Jadeveon Clowney. Now, we had Jadeveon Clowney as kind of our veteran defensive end last year, and he was definitely the most productive. But we drafted a couple guys this year, Nick Scorton in the second round and Princely Umeo. Yeah, I'll need to work on that last name. Umeo Mellon? So, yeah, we'll see. But those guys impressed enough in OTAs and rookie mini camps and mini camp so that the Panthers were willing to move on from Jadeveon Clowney. It's another situation where his veteran leadership and playmaking ability could very well be missed and growing pains could be had, and it could cost us, you know. But we'll put that aside and we'll welcome back All-Pro Derrick Brown, defensive tackle, to the mix. Hurt his knee last year in the first game, was out the entire year, so we're amazed and thrilled to have him back. And that league-worst run defense should be picked up majorly. Besides the return of Derrick Brown, really the most important thing and the biggest part of what we did this offseason was add depth along the defensive line. We needed so much depth and size and strength. As soon as we lost Derrick Brown last year, we had A'shaun Robinson in the middle, but basically it was just kind of patchwork defensive linemen. And when we were picking up guys at the start of the season from other teams, practice squads for defensive line, you know you're in trouble there. Luckily, we're in a much better position this year. We brought in Bobby Brown, Dreshawn Wharton, Patrick Jones, and the two rookies I just mentioned. DJ Johnson is still there, and we drafted another guy, Cam Jackson, from Florida. He's 6'6", 350 pounds, and there was some rep he did in the joint practice with the Browns where he just blew some center up. I mean, he looked like he had 100 pounds on the guy, but who knows how much he'll see the field. But that's another depth piece with size and power, which we really needed after giving up the most rush yards in the NFL. We also have Thomas Incoom, who was impressed during the offseason and preseason coming off the edge. So really, the biggest thing that we're looking for from that group, obviously, is we got to be stouter against the run. And we got to generate some sort of pass rush. You know, if you can't do either of those two things, you're going to be the worst defense in the league. And we were. If you can't do one of those things, you're going to be still probably a pretty bad defense. So we just need to improve our baseline across the board with run defense and pass rush. And the run defense should be much improved, especially with Derrick Brown. That's his specialty. And brought in all of these other bigger, well-established veterans that can contribute and add depth so that you don't have to play the same four guys the whole game. You can rotate everybody in, and you're not going to lose much production from all those backups coming in. It looks like we're there with the run defense on the defensive line. However, if our defense can improve to middle of the pack, say, you know, because I think it's definitely too soon to expect our defense to all of a sudden vault into the top 10 in the NFL. That's just not going to happen. We added some quality pieces in free agency and the draft, but we can't expect that to happen. I think at best we can expect, at best, would be a jump to the middle of the league. And I think if the defense does jump to the middle league, we are going to have the potential to fight for a playoff spot, whether that's winning our division or getting into the wild card. Now, for that to happen, we have to have some sort of a pass rush. You would expect that the pass rush would be better than last year because it was so horrendous, but you can't take anything for granted, especially because we got two rookies coming in and you can't necessarily expect them to have immediate success. Luckily, neither of them is having to start, but they will be playing key roles as rotational players. So what can we expect from them? What can we expect from DJ Wonnum, Patrick Jones, these other pass rushers on the edge that really haven't gotten quite the chance to prove whether they are legit starters, plus starters, or maybe should just stay as rotational guys. So there's going to be a lot of things to be figured out on the defensive line this year, especially with pass rush. Moving on to our linebackers on the inside, we've got Trevon Wallace and Roseboom who are going to be starting. Unfortunately, Josie Jewell had to take some time off to heal from his concussion issues. We wish you the best, Josie, and speedy recovery. Hopefully you get to play again. If you don't, I hope you enjoyed your career to the fullest. But thank you for everything you did for our squad. But moving on, we got Trevon Wallace, the rookie third rounder from last year. He definitely had his moments, and you saw the athleticism, the speed, the power, the pop that he can get you with. So we're hoping that he kind of takes the next step this season and really with his understanding and his coverage. So hopefully he can be more productive in the middle. Now, Roseboom stepped into a starting role for the Rams last year and had over 130 tackles, led the team, was the green dot there. And so he steps into a situation that he's very familiar with, even though last year was his first year as a starter. So the combination of those two guys will be key inside, and their health will be key inside because the depth behind them is very young, very unproven. And honestly, you know, especially in Wallace's case, he's young and unproven. So we're more in a situation with the linebacker core that we were kind of across the board last year, whereas the frontline guys look to be solid. You're not quite sure if they're going to be more than solid, but behind them, the depth is lacking and unproven. So we're hoping for health, especially for those guys. And if the health isn't great, hey, we're hoping that those backups, those young players, those unprovens can step in and prove something to us, right? But we're going to cross our fingers and hope that they don't. Now, moving on to our secondary, obviously, we gave JC the big contract in the offseason. Congratulations, JC Horn, our cornerback, first rounder from 5 years ago, I believe. But he's, from the second he stood on the field as a rookie, has proved that he belonged in the NFL, and he belonged in the upper echelon of cornerbacks in the NFL. But he only played 3 games his rookie year, and basically every year since, he's had significant injury and missed significant time, except for last season, which he still didn't play all 17 games. He played 15 of 17, and he played well, but the defense as a whole played so poorly, and the secondary was awful, especially with communication and blown coverages. It was hard for me to see given JC that kind of contract, as far as, you know, big time dollars, top of the NFL, mostly for a guy that just hasn't proved that he can stay on the field. Obviously, if he's on the field, there's no, you know, he deserves to be on the field. But yeah, but you know, looking at it from Dan Morgan's perspective, and especially trying to build something, it's like we needed this talented piece, you know, and so we needed to take this calculated risk with his injuries. And JC, we love you. Stay on the field, buddy. Mike Jackson, definitely with his running part on the outside for cornerbacks, showed a lot last year. It was definitely up and down at times where he would make a lot of big plays, but then he would give up a lot of big plays, whether it be pass interference or just a catch. So looking for more consistency out of Mike Jack this year. Hopefully better play from the safeties will allow, and better play from the front seven, especially the D line, will allow the back end to reap the benefits and have less pressure on them, especially less than last year. Now, looking in at the nickel corner, we got Shaw Smith Wade, who was a rookie from the year before. And, you know, so many offseason reports about him being the best player in camp and this and that, whatever. Like, you know, I think we all remember Terrace Marshall and remember hearing about how he was the best player in camp 3 years in a row. And then as soon as the regular season came, we would never hear from him. And he ends up getting cut, obviously. So it's great to have the hype, but I want to see it on the field. And he had an injury his rookie year, too. So he just has very limited reps. So we'll see what that looks like when he gets out there. We also got the I'm really excited that we signed safety Trevon Morrig from the Las Vegas Raiders. It's been a long time since we've had good safety play. And you look at our good secondaries over the years, you know, with Deion Grant and Mike Minter and Coleman. I'm blanking right now. We've had a lot of good safeties. But signing a big-time free agent safety was something that we needed to do. We kind of tried to patchwork it the last few years, and it just wasn't working. The communication was awful last year, so we hope that is solved. And his running mate there is officially it's Nick Scott at this point, but I wouldn't be surprised to see Latham Ransom, another rookie out of Ohio State this year, take that job at some point. He had a really good preseason finale, and that game was a lot of fun if you guys didn't watch, for the you know, kind of end of the roster guys to fight it out and try to realize their dreams. And it's just the emotion, the energy, the passion. It's a fun game to watch, actually, that last preseason game. It was better than the first two, that's for sure. So anyway, Latham Ransom, everybody talks about his championship pedigree and the hard work and Ohio State, and wouldn't be shocked if he ends up taking it over. Also, I guess we'll talk about our specialists briefly. We got a new kicker, new punter. We don't really know what to expect from them, but we'll figure it out this year, and hopefully it doesn't cost us too much. That's the one thing about letting Eddie Pinheiro go as one of the highest field goal percentage kickers in NFL history, is if we have a lackluster year out of our kicker, then we're going to be able to point to that and say, hey, this cost us. So let's just hope everything works out just fine there. Anyway, that basically takes us through the roster, and I'm excited. I'm pumped up. I've been looking forward to football season for way too long. Off season's way too long. We're finally on the game week, and I can't wait to talk to you guys on our first Victory Monday. I'll be back later in the week to preview the Jaguars game and throw in some extra thoughts for the year. But let's wrap up with a few predictions for both Panthers and NFL-wide this year. So last year, I picked Panthers to win 8 games. I was obviously wrong on that. We went 5-12, but this year, you know, with continued continuity at the offensive line, a quarterback that's growing, a really deep unit of offensive playmakers, a deeper and more effective defensive line, a deeper and more effective secondary, I think that we have the potential to challenge for a playoff spot. And I think that's especially true because the NFC South, our division with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, New Orleans Saints, and Atlanta Falcons, is not one of the stronger divisions in the NFL. I don't think it's the worst division in the NFL anymore. It was a few years ago. But we're definitely going to have to contend with the Bucs. The Bucs have to be the front runner in the division. They've won it 4 years in a row. They've got the most veteran and proven quarterback in Baker Mayfield. They've got a really good and tough defense, a good offensive line, great skill position players. They've been there. They've done that. They are the incumbent. They are the favorite. But I tell you what, if we can continue our growth from last year to this year and those acquisitions on defense are able to produce enough to bring us to middle of the pack, then we're going to be able to challenge them. We're going to be able to push the Bucs, absolutely, for the division. Because you're talking about a division that's been won in recent years with 9 games, 8 games, 10 games. Like, nobody in our division is going to end up 15-2. So if we win 10 games, we could have a legitimate shot, especially because we play the Bucs twice in the last 3 weeks of the season. So if it's close and we got a chance to make up 2 games head to head and we can do it, then that could mean us going to the playoffs as division champs for the first time since 2015. So that would be pretty fucking amazing, right? Anyway, I don't know if that's going to happen. In fact, I don't think it's going to happen. I think the Buccaneers are going to be able to take down our division this year. I think giving away of Clowney and Thielen is going and having those growing pains of a younger team is going to cost us a game or two, and that is going to put us outside the division. Now, we still could have a chance in the NFC to make a wild card spot because the NFC is not nearly as deep as the AFC. So there will be some teams that we have to contend with, and that's another reason why I wouldn't have traded Adam Thielen to Minnesota, is because Minnesota is one of those teams that we may have to contend with for a wild card spot. And if they win out because they had Thielen and we didn't, anyway. So let's go ahead and run through the prediction for the Panthers. I think we will win 9 games this year. I think we're going to go 9-8. We're going to have our first winning season since 2017. We're going to show growth all over the place, and we're going to be fun to watch. We're going to be good TV, which we have not been in a long time. So will we make a wild card? I'm not sure, but we're absolutely going to have a chance at 9-8. Now, going through the divisions, the South, I'm taking the Bucs. The West, I'm going to pull a fast one here, and I'm going to take the Seahawks. I don't think that Stafford is probably going to be able to stay healthy the whole year. I think the whole division is kind of mediocre, and everyone is kind of around the same talent-wise. I think any 4 of them could win, but I'm going to go ahead and take the Seahawks because I believe in their coach, I believe in their defense. And Sam Darnold is going to have enough to get it done, whereas Kyler Murray has not shown the ability to be clutch down the stretch. Otherwise, I might take the Cardinals. And yeah, Stafford, I think, obviously, with a back issue, is going to have some problems this year. And then there's San Francisco, who's really young on defense now and has lots of injuries on offense. And I love you, CMC, but I'm not expecting Christian McCaffrey to stay healthy again, maybe, which is unfortunate because he really, if he had health his entire career, he could be one of the best backs of all time. But he's not going to have the ability to play that many snaps and accumulate that kind of rep. But anyway, would love to see him do it, but hey. So, going to Seattle in the West. In the East, it's Philly's division. Washington is not ready yet. Dallas has an offense, but doesn't have a defense. The Giants have a defense, but don't have an offense. Anyway, Eagles. North, I'm going to go with the Packers, and I actually was going to go with the Packers before they traded for one of the best pass rushers in the NFL, Micah Parsons, from the Cowboys. This last week, but I think Detroit takes a step back. I think Dan Campbell's freewheeling, go for it personality and coaching style is going to backfire, and they're going to take a step back this year. They still may make the playoffs as wild card, but they're not going to win that division. I think Minnesota is going to be good. Chicago is going to be good. Everybody in that division is going to be good. That's the best division in the NFC. Going over the AFC, we got the East, the Bills. The Bills are the only team that can win that division. Although I did have a dream a couple of months ago that the Jets will win. So if they do, I should listen to myself. At least my subconscious. Anyway, Bills take the East. The West, I'm taking the Chiefs to have a backslide this year. They are definitely going to experience the Super Bowl hangover and the fatigue of Super Bowl runs each of the last 3 years. I remember that third title that Golden State was trying to win in a row. And by the time they got to the finals, people were dropping like flies. Kevin Durant, Klay Thompson, everybody was going out with big time injuries, and not predicting big time injuries for them necessarily, but it's going to take their toll the last few years. And I personally don't think they did enough to solidify their offensive line after that was the obvious reason that they did not have a chance in that Super Bowl against the Eagles. So they're going to have some issues this year, I believe. And part of the reason why they're going to have some issues, their division is getting a lot better. It was pretty bad for a long time, but I am going to take Sean Payton to lead the Broncos to that division title, because unfortunately I saw Sean Payton up close and personal for way too long in the NFC South when he coached the New Orleans Saints, and he's just too good. And that defense is too good. And Bo Nix knows how to run his stuff. And I'm going with Denver to win that division. In fact, I think the Chargers will end up second. And the Raiders are going to be better than I initially thought, mostly because they hired Pete Carroll and got Geno Smith, but also drafting Ashton Jeanty, the running back from Boise State, to go with Brock Bowers, the tight end, all pro from a rookie. They're going to have some pieces to play with. They're going to be more productive and better coached than they would have been. So that whole division is getting better on the Chiefs' tails, and they're going to catch them this year. Now, I don't think the Chiefs are over. And that's the funny thing. I think so much news media is in the moment and finality. It's like, whoa, has the Chiefs championship window closed? No, of course not. It won't close for the next decade. As long as Patrick Mahomes is behind center, it will not close. It was the same thing with Brady, right? But of course, you know, Brady had a couple of years where he got hurt. You remember he had the knee injury in like the second game, and the NFL changed the rule that he can't hit quarterbacks low now? It's because Brady missed a whole year. It happens. Somehow, they were still in their championship window the next year. So yes, the Chiefs are going to have a down season, but they will be back in the playoffs next year. I guarantee it. Anyway, moving on from the West, we are going to the South. The Houston Texans will win that division. Nobody else has a chance. And, you know, I would say they don't have a chance based on Houston's defense. Houston's defense is going to be one of the best in the NFL. And then you got a young, good quarterback in CJ Stroud, and you got him a bunch of offensive weapons. And their problem was the offensive line last year. And they threw a bunch of resources at it, free agents, draft picks, basically hoping something sticks. And I mean, a lot of times that's what you got to do. That's what I didn't understand about the Chiefs. The Chiefs like brought in one guy, and then they let their other best guy go, which I just didn't get. But Houston, as long as they can get some cohesion in that offensive line, the offense is going to be pretty damn good again. So Houston's got the South, and then you go the North, that, you know, the most competitive division, obviously, but Joe Burrow may be playing the best quarterback in the NFL right now for Cincinnati Bengals, but they don't have a defense. And we saw last year they couldn't get over 500 by averaging over 30 points a game and him having over 40 touchdowns and 5,000 yards passing. So once again, if they can't stop anybody, they're not going to win that division. They may make the playoffs. They may win 9, 10, even 11 games and make the playoffs, but they're not going to win that division. Pittsburgh, Cleveland, and Baltimore have fantastic defenses, and Baltimore has a fantastic offense. Pittsburgh's offense, we'll see how that all works out. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers, DK Metcalf, new running backs, there's a lot of new on the Steelers offense, but enough talent there, enough talent and veteran savvy, as well as young dynamic players to be something. It's like, how will that come together? Right. And of course, they've got the best coach in the NFL, Mike Tomlin. So if anybody can do it, it's Mike Tomlin. However, Baltimore is just too good. Baltimore probably has the best roster in the NFL, as well as Lamar Jackson, who could have won his third MVP award last year. I don't see how they don't win the division, unless Jackson gets hurt, obviously, which, hey, if any quarterback gets hurt, then that team is not going to do as well. So it's Baltimore all the way there. So let's go back at it. We got the Bucks, the Seahawks, the Packers, the Eagles, the Bills, the Texans, the Broncos, and who is the North? Baltimore, the Ravens. So that's my pick. And then we got who's going to go to the Super Bowl and win it? I got Denver beating Green Bay. Bam. Anyway, it's been fun to preview the season. Like I said, we'll be back to preview week one later on, and I'll catch you then. Keep pounding.